sure if what I'm going to share, we may need to revisit it later. So, just as long as we're recording it, that's good. Well, first of all, Daniel, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. I'm glad where we are today. I'm very thankful for where the Lord has brought Daniel to and what he's doing in his life. Again, as we were talking earlier, his love never ran out on Daniel. He never ran out of it trying to show it to him, and he never ran off on Daniel, leaving him to his own devices and not continually being there trying to draw him back. And that's the way he is with all of us. And that's how we ought to be with people, especially our loved ones, especially those who are in our lives and that God has put there, and we know that they're there. But as Susan never lets me forget, we need to have that same kind of love for everybody. I have a harder time with that sometimes than what she does, but I know it to be true. Anyway, what I want to share with you this morning is from my heart. I don't believe it'll take very long, but I want you to hear me. I want to be able to speak clearly, but I want you to be able to hear me clearly also. I don't want anybody going out thinking I said something that I didn't say. Usually what I say is difficult enough for people to hear. To add to it and make it something I didn't say is totally unfair. There's plenty there to be offended just going by what I said without adding to it. But as all of us know, we're in a period of time in our nation where, and in the world, but particularly in our nation, where there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of strange things going on, things that I can't remember seeing this much of at this level for this long. A lot of silliness, a lot of scariness, a lot of things to be concerned about, and most of us are. Sorry, someone just randomly came in the back door. But my purpose here today is not to be yet another voice in the mix of all the voices that are out there. There's a lot of people saying all kinds of things. Every flavor of discussion you can think of is already out there, and I don't want to be yet another voice. My purpose this morning is to help each one of you be a discerner of those voices and to be able to make, to hear God in the midst of all these things that are going on. And sometimes it's difficult because many of the voices that are taking place today are voices that are speaking supposedly on behalf of God. And I'm concerned about those as much as I am concerned about the voices in the world speaking what they're speaking. So I want to share with you what I believe the Lord's put on my heart. I want to try as much as possible to refrain from speaking my opinion. I obviously have one, just like everybody else does. Opinions are like noses. Everybody's got at least one, right? So I want to steer away from that as much as possible, and I just want to give you some guidelines in how to interpret and how to discern the stuff that's going on in the world today and the voices that are speaking. What is God saying in the midst of this? I know that we are in the midst of a contested election. My purpose is not to say who I believe should be president. I think I have a desire, and I voted my desires for who I wanted to be president. It's not a political thing I'm trying to say here this morning. But there's, and forgive me, I'm not prepared. I didn't, if this was the sermon, I would give it to you as a sermon. I'm trying to speak as the Spirit of God has given me unction. There have been a lot of people who are called prophets, who call themselves prophets, and who are called prophets by other people, who said categorically, uncategorically, that President Trump would have a second term and that he would be elected president in this past general elections. That, as you know, hasn't happened at this time. And I don't even know if it is going to happen. I'm not going to add to the confusion by saying what I think will happen. I don't believe, here's what I want to say, I do not believe that that is the function of a New Testament prophet, to prophesy such things. I believe that by saying that, it has added a lot of unnecessary confusion and has caused many people to be, the last several weeks and even up to this point, Lord, what's going on? Didn't you speak by the prophets that Trump would be president again? I want to offer this to you. I believe I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, but I want you just to consider along with me as I try to navigate what's going on in the world. Is that really a message that God would speak to His people, whether it comes to pass or not? Is that really a message that a New Testament prophet should be speaking? That this particular person will be president. What is the purpose of that information? What did it do for anybody saying this will happen? Most of what we see in the office of prophet in the Old Testament, which carries on into the New Testament with some New Covenant adjustments, most of it was the prophets speaking, almost all of it, speaking to the nation of Israel in the Old Covenant. New Testament prophets speak to the church. In the Old Covenant, the prophets spoke for the benefit of the nation of Israel, whether to tell them, yes, go forward, you will have victory in this battle, or no, do not do that because you will fail. It was letting them know something specific about their role in the world. And when we come into the New Covenant, and in the Old Covenant, we see God speaking to His people concerning the will of God for His people. He spoke to them about who was going to be king, but He spoke to the prophet in order to go to that person and to anoint them as king. I don't recall right now any time where the prophet said to the people, this person will be king at some point. It was for that prophet to go and do the job of anointing. And then that was very small in the role of a prophet. Most of it was telling the people of God where they should go, where they didn't go, and what's going to happen to them as a result of not obeying the voice of the Lord. Warnings to repent and return to the Lord. There was a lot of people under the new, under the old covenant, a lot of people who called themselves prophets, who God said, I did not send them. Most of what they were prophesying was things that made the nation of Israel feel good about themselves in the condition they were in. To make them feel like it's okay to carry on the way things are. No need to change. You are going to be blessed. And God said, I did not send them. I did not tell them to say that. If you do a study on prophets and prophetic words, most of what people didn't like prophets saying was something that they considered negative. And most of the prophets that were called false prophets were prophets that spoke something God didn't say. And most of the things that they said, he said, was blessing when God said, it's not a time, a season of blessing right now. It's a season of adjustments. It's even to repent. It's a season to cry out to God. It's a season to turn from your wicked ways. Not another four more years of blessing. So even as I look in the office of an Old Testament prophet, I don't see a prophetic word saying someone is going to be president. I don't see it how it fit in anything within the Old Covenant. Bring it over into the New Covenant, and we see prophets speaking. There was Agabus that spoke. And when prophets gathered together in Antioch, and those prophets, a word came through Agabus and said that there was going to be a dearth or a famine throughout the entire earth. And so as a result of that, prophetic words need to be responded to, not just heard. What do you do? And I'm not trying to be unkind or cruel. I'm trying to help all of us navigate our way through all this confusion that's going on and find out that God is not two-minded about things. God doesn't miss it. God doesn't tell us things unnecessarily. He doesn't tell us things for necessarily our comfort only. But prophetic words need to be responded to. How do I, as a Christian, respond to Trump is going to be president again? What is my response to that? I'm already... Does that make a person not vote for Trump, who was not going to vote for Trump, vote for him because God said that's what he wanted? I don't know. I don't think that's what's being said. I think the purpose of saying that, for the most part, was to say, this is what I know is going to happen when it comes to pass, then you'll recognize that I said something prophetically and then I'll get the credit for it. But I see no real prophetic purpose for saying that statement. Agabus, when he said there's going to be a dearth, it was so that people could prepare and so that they could respond to it. There's always a response to a prophetic word. Not just, oh, I know. There's a reason for knowing. Then later on in Acts, we see Agabus again, who Paul was, I can't remember where he was at this point, but Agabus came and grabbed Paul's article of clothing. I believe the King James calls it his girdle. That's not a girdle like I'm thinking girdle, I can assure you. But he grabbed his girdle and he said, by the Spirit of the Lord, whoever's garment this is, and he bound himself, when he goes to Rome, is going to be bound. And so, once again, there was warning that was coming through a New Testament prophet. First of all, warning of a famine that they needed to respond to. And now, warning that Paul and Agabus knew he was holding Paul's girdle. He knew he was talking to Paul. He was warning Paul that when he gets to Rome, he's going to be bound. But Paul said, what do you mean to break my heart over this? He said, I'm not only willing to be bound and when I go to Rome, but also die for the Lord there also. So was the prophet wrong in giving that warning? No. Here's my second point about a prophetic word. Is sometimes a prophetic word needs to be filtered through an apostolic anointing to understand what that word actually means. God was warning Paul what was going to happen so that when Paul got there, he wouldn't be shocked and or whatever. But Paul said through his anointing that, okay, if that's going to happen to me, I'm down for it. They can bind me, they can throw me in prison, and they can kill me. But God is going to be glorified. In either one of those prophetic words, there was nothing saying, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. So what am I trying to say? I don't know what's going to happen. I feel like I know. But again, I'm not going to be another one, just another voice out there trying to tell you what God shows me is going to happen. Because once again, what purpose would it serve? If I said, yes, Trump is going to be president, God showed me, what purpose does it serve? If I tell you this morning that no, he's not going to be president, I know very clearly he's not going to be president, what purpose does that serve? It doesn't fall within what I believe a New Testament prophet ought to be sharing. And just as the Old Covenant prophets were for the nation of Israel, and they spoke to the nation of Israel about things concerning the nation of Israel, the New Testament prophet, God says he has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets. Where does he set prophets? In the church. Because in the church, prophetic words are supposed to be judged when they're spoken by other prophets. And because those prophets are in relationship with one another, nobody's going to say, I'm going to go along with that just because I'm going to have to support my brother prophet because those prophets need to stick together. Everybody has a responsibility before God to be in truth and to speak truth. And so if it comes that there is something a bit off, there are safeguards that come by another prophet judging the prophecy that was given and not giving a rubber stamp approval, because that's what we do. We stand by our prophetic friends. We rubber stamp everything. Yes, I agree. And within the church, remember he said in the church, first apostles and then prophets. Within the church, not only are there other prophets to judge prophecy, which we as God's people get the benefit of. We not only get the benefit of a prophetic word, but the judging of that prophetic word. We also have the benefit of having those prophetic words judged by those with apostolic anointing and who have a bigger, big picture view of things and who can say, okay, that was God, but as a result of God speaking to us, this should be our course of action. There should always be a course of action and a prophetic word that comes forth with no course of action that we should take as a result of that prophetic word is either not true from God or it's missing the other elements. It appears that I'm ranting on people who've prophesied. I don't know. It could have been correct. I don't know. It's not over till it's over. Again, I have my own thoughts. But I cannot say clearly to you from the Lord that this is going to be the outcome. And again, if I did, what's the point of me saying that other than the fact of later on I could say, I told you. It's not about uplifting me. It's not about me being known as anything. It's about the body of Christ getting the benefit of prophetic words that are going forth that helps us prepare for what is to come. Help us to respond to God in what He's saying. So my admonition to you and to whoever listens to this by the recording, I don't know where it needs to go. I don't know who needs to hear it. But I know this body needs to hear it, because I know we're a people who care about such things, and we care. We want the prophets to speak. We want prophetic words going forth. We want the benefit of New Testament prophets, because we believe that that is an office that God has set in the church that we're a part of. But we want the safeguards that go with it. And we want to understand that words are spoken on behalf of the church, for the church. I was thinking about it. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Covenant prophets. He's mentioned in the New Testament, but he operated as an Old Covenant prophet. He spoke to Herod and rebuked Herod for having a relationship that wasn't right. And he said, "It's not lawful for you to have her as your wife." What law was he referring to? He wasn't talking about man's law. Once again, he was confronting someone in government, but he was confronting them over the law of God. And that person in government was in government in the nation of Israel. Once again, it's all wrapped up in what over in the New Covenant would be church matters. I'm throwing this out there. I hope it is a help to you going forward. Just because people are saying things, we got to look at it. What are they saying? What does it mean? Why? Is it important to know that? Does it help me in my walk with God? Or does it just make me feel better about it? When I heard those words, I'm going to tell you, I had the same caution that I'm speaking to you about today. I had the same caution that I don't think this is right. I don't believe it's right. I don't believe that God would speak to us about that. Why? I had the same caution. But I got to tell you that when I heard that that was going to be the outcome of the election, me personally, I was happy if that was the outcome of the election. If that's how it was going to turn out, I would be good with that. So we have to judge not how does it make me feel. Does it make me feel happy? Does it go along with what I need to hear? Because often true prophetic words don't. Often true prophetic words make us either feel like we need to get right with God, or we need to respond to that word and it's going to cost us something. Often. So when we hear something, why is it being said? What are the safeguards that are clear to me in regard to this? Where are the... Is it regarding the church? Is it... and prophets are given and set in the church to help lay the foundation of the church and help the church go in the right direction. Is that being done by this prophetic word? Are we getting to that point through this prophetic word? Much of what's been said today doesn't do that. And again, I'm not calling anybody a false prophet. I'm not saying anything. I'm not making any judgment calls other than the fact of we need to judge. As God's people, we need to judge, and we need to be a little bit more cautious than just how does that make me feel? Is that the outcome that I want? And if it is, good. God said it, so it's going to happen. I can't begin to tell you how many people have messed up, how many movements have messed up in the past because they have set a date to the second coming of Jesus that still hasn't happened yet. And date after date after date, and credibility begins to get lost amongst their own followers, much less the people on the outside. And why? Because if you follow Scripture and you let Scripture be your guide, that was never something that is, should be prophesied by somebody anyway. So that's where we get in trouble, having people prophesy things that don't need to be prophesied. Because usually if it doesn't need to be prophesied, that means God didn't say it. And perhaps it is a false word. So, for all you people who, along with me, believe that there are prophets in today's church and that God's given those and He set them in the church to anchor us firmly into Him and into what He wants to do, and to give us benefit and correct us when we need correcting, correct us and warn us when we need to be warned. For all of you who believe that with me, just because all this is happening, I don't want you to give up on that. I don't want you to do what people have done for years and years and years now, saying, well, Jesus must not be coming because every time they say He's going to come, He didn't come. No, brothers and sisters, just because some people get it wrong doesn't mean there isn't truth there. So let's be discerning about these things and let's help one another out. And it's okay. It's okay to judge a word. It's okay to say, Lord, did you really say that? Is that really you? Are you really saying that to us? And Lord, if it is you, where are the echoes of that? And Lord, what is my response to it? So I think I've come to an end. I think I've exhausted what I need to say. If you got any questions, I'll be around for lunch. If everybody wants to talk about it together at lunch or whatever, I just want to be a help because I know there's a lot of people who are dealing with things that I believe didn't need to be a part of what's going on today. You're dealing with the upset of not seeing things happen the way that they would like for it to happen, and dealing with, well, God, where are you in all this? Didn't you say this? It just has compounded and made things worse. And we need to get, regardless of who's president, we need to learn that. And let me just say this one last thing. And this may be the closest thing I come to making a statement that is from my own heart. And if it is, forgive me. But I remember when I was in the Air Force, and before I got saved, I was doing a lot of things I should not be doing. And I would go out on the town, and I would have too much to drink, and that's what guys did. They just went out and did that and had a grand old time. I had a guy that was a friend of mine, shorter than me, who liked going out to the town with me because I was bigger and stronger than him. He had this thing in his head that he wanted to get into a big old bar fight. And he wanted just to tear the place up and then go home afterwards all bruised and bloody and laugh about it in the barracks later. And so when I didn't realize this was going on, but while we were in the bar drinking, I was a lot bigger than him, and I could hold my own. And there wasn't very many people I would have shied away from, but that wasn't in my heart to fight them. And this guy would go pick fights with people and say to them, see that guy over there? He could beat you up. And I'd have people come up to me in the bar and say, your friend over there says you want to fight me. I said, no, my friend wants to fight you. I don't want to. I said, I didn't come here for that purpose. Now, if he would have started something, I'm not sure where it would have gone, but fortunately, it never went there. But every time on the way home, I'd say, Harold, why did you do that again? He said, come on, we got to do it just once. Sometimes people are looking. He was wanting to be with a big bully so he could get into a fight and have a big bully care for him. The only thing is, I was big and I was strong, but I wasn't a bully, so I didn't fit the bill. It never worked. But sometimes as Christians, we want somebody else to do our fighting for us, and we don't care if they're a bully as long as they're on our side. And we'll get into arena, and we want to get into arena when we have a bully on our side, because we can just pick a fight, stand back, and let him go to town, mopping up the place. I'm thinking, okay, this may just be me. Everything else I said, I really believe you need to hear. Whether you want to throw this out or not, you can. But I really believe that one of the reasons people wanted somebody on their side who had a bully mentality is for the same reason that my friend did, is because he wanted the outcome of the fight and he wanted to be in the fight, but he didn't want to have to do all the fighting. He wanted somebody to fight for him. Brothers and sisters, as a church of Jesus Christ, we're going to have to realize our government is not going to be the one to be fighting the battle of the church. The church is the one that's going to have to be fighting the battle in this world. And our Savior cannot be somebody in human skin. Our Savior has to be Jesus Christ and Him working through all of us as one. And until we get back to that place, I think we're setting up idols for ourselves. I'm exalting the church. Anybody has a problem with that? I feel sorry for you. But I'm exalting the church. I'm exalting Jesus. I'm exalting His body as one. We need to stop putting our hope in the arm of man and put our hope in the Spirit of God. So, thank you all for listening. I felt it was important for me to share that with you today. Take it and glean from it what you feel like is important. If there is anything in there, including my story about the bully, if that needs to go in your mind, you can get rid of it. But I think it's got merit. But let's exalt Jesus. Let's exalt what He's done. Let's exalt His Word. Let's see His church rise and be in this earth what He's called it to be. And let's be a part of it. Amen? Amen. God bless you.